So let's review. We learned in the Mishnah, Ein mevarchen lo'el aner v'lo'el b'samim shel akum, that you cannot say the brachas of Barim in the b'samim and Barim ha'eish over the fire and over the b'samim of a non-Jew. The Gemara explained that the problem with saying a bracha over the fire of a non-Jew is that the bracha needs to be said on a ner sheshavas memelech hazaver, a fire which was not lit through chil Shabbos. The fire of a non-Jew was likely lit by him on Shabbos itself. Even though he was certainly allowed to do so, it's still called a ner that came about through Chil Shabbos. However, a fire that was lit for a dangerously sick person can be used for the bracha, since that's not considered an act of Chil Shabbos at all. The Gemara also explained that really, once some time passed after Shabbos, you should have been allowed to say the bracha on the fire of a non-Jew, because fire keeps replenishing itself. So you could say the bracha over that portion of the fire that came into being after Shabbos. However, Chazal were afraid that you might say the bracha on such a fire right after Shabbos, when it was entirely the product of Chil Shabbos. So they made it forbidden to use the fire of a non-Jew for the bracha completely. Even if after Shabbos a non-Jew lit a completely new fire, but he ignited it from the fire of another non-Jew, it's still not good for the bracha. But if a Jew lit a fire after Shabbos from the fire of a non-Jew, then that may be used. The Gemara then went on to discuss various cases concerning fire that can be used or not used for Havdalah Matzah Shabbos. If someone was walking Matzah Shabbos past the city, in which he sees fire burning, if the city is mostly inhabited by Jews, he may say a bracha over it. If it's mostly inhabited by non-Jews, he can't. If it's evenly divided, then he may also make the bracha. We also learned that the bracha of Boimar Eish can be said only on a fire that was lit for the sake of illumination. In the case of a fire that was lit in a shul, if there was a prominent person in shul, then we assume the fire was lit in his honor, but not for illumination, and we therefore may not say a bracha over it. However, if the shul also has a chazan, or a shamash living in the shul, in which case the fire is presumably also there to provide him with light, then we may say a bracha, but only if it was a dark, moonless night. The Gemara then brought a brisa about a fire that's brought into Beis Medrash on Matzah Shabbos, while people are learning. Beis Hillel say that one person should be mitzi everybody, in keeping with the general rule of Berei Vam Hadras Melech. There's more glory to Hashem if many participate in performing a mitzvah together. However, the Bisham may say that this would cause too much bittul Beis Medrash, too much interruption of learning. Therefore, it's preferable that everyone make their own bracha. The Gemara then quotes a brisa where similarly in Rabbi Gamliel's Beis Medrash, if someone sneezed, they wouldn't even say marpe, gesundheit, because of bittul Beis Medrash. Next case in the Mishnah was, Ein mevarchem lo'el aner, v'lel b'samim shel mason. You can't say a bracha on the fire and b'samim that we use for a funeral. The Gemara explains that the problem with making a bracha on them is that the fire was lit in honor of the dead, but not for illumination, and the besamim were there to mask the odor of the body and not for the sake of their own fragrance. Similarly, we don't say bayim and besamim on fragrances that were put out in an outhouse to mask the bad odor and fragrant oils that were used to cleanse one's hands after a meal. However, the Gemara says you do say bayim and besamim in the perfume shop. Even though the besamim are there only for sale purposes, the owner nevertheless has an interest in their providing a good aroma now, so people will be attracted to buy his wares. Moving on to Amud Beis. The Gemara once again returns to our Mishnah. Ve'ei mevarchen al aner ad shiyo osu. Am Rav Yehuda Merav, lo yu'usu yu'usa mamish. When we say that you must benefit from the fire in order to make a bracha of Boimer or Eish, it only means that you could benefit from it, even if you didn't actually benefit. The Gemara then says that you must see the fire itself. If, however, it's in a lantern, then you don't say the bracha. Rashi holds that the Gemara is talking about a glass lantern. You have to see the fire directly, not through glass. The Rashba disagrees. He learns that the Gemara is talking about a lantern with perforated metal sides where you don't see the flame at all. But a glass lantern, according to the Rashba, is fine. Tanraban. Gacholam loichashis mevorchen alein. We also learn that you can make the bracha of Boimer Eish on glowing coals, loichashis, but not on dimming coals, oimemois. The Gemara then presented a machloikis regarding how close you need to be in order to say the bracha of Boimer Eish. Rav and Ravashi hold that you can be standing far off, as long as the fire itself is bright enough that if you were standing close by, you would have been able to get some benefit from the light. However, Rava holds, and the halacha follows him, that you have to be standing close enough to actually get some benefit from the light, that is, close enough to be able to distinguish between two similar looking coins. The Gemara closes this section with a statement from Rav. Amar Yehuda Merav, Ein mechazon al ur. That the bracha of Boimer Eish is not really obligatory. If you don't have a fire available, you don't need to go seek them out, as we would for other mitzvahs. The Gemara then began to discuss the machloikis in the Mishnah between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about going back to where you ate, to say Birchas HaMazon. The Gemara explained that in the case of a mazid, where he deliberately left without benching, he certainly has to go back. The machlokes is where he simply forgot. Beis Shammai say that kavod shemayim, the honor of heaven, demands that he go back the same way he would have gone back had he forgotten something of material value. Whereas the Beis Hillel hold that halacha does not impose on them to that degree. The Gemara also quote a story about Rabbi Baruch Hanna, who was traveling with a caravan and who had persuaded them to backtrack so he could see Birchas HaMazon where he ate. Rather than tell them the real reason, he said he'd forgotten a golden bird. Amazingly, when they got there, he really did find a golden bird. In the Mishnah, we also learned that after you eat, you can bench as long as the food hasn't yet been digested, shir ikul. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that means that as long as you're not hungry again, you can still bench. Rish Lakish disagrees and gives two different time spans, as long as you're still thirsty from the meal, or as long as it takes to walk arba milah. The Gemara explains that one is in the case of achila merube, a large meal, and the other is in the case of achila mu'etis, a small meal. Rashi understands this to mean that four mil is for a large meal, and the shear of still being thirsty is for a small meal. Tosis holds the opposite. In any event, the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan, not Rish Lakish. The Mishnah then said, V'oinen amin achis rahma varach, that you can say amen after a Jew says a bracha, even if you don't hear the whole thing. But when the kuti says a bracha, you have to be sure to hear the whole bracha before answering amen. The Gemara explains that this is talking about someone who didn't eat and doesn't need to be yetz of the bracha. But if you need to be yetz of the bracha, then you always have to hear the whole bracha. The Gemara also spoke about some other aspects of saying amen. It quotes machlokes about what's better, to say the bracha or to answer amen. It also tells us that you don't say amen after children who are just practicing saying brachas. Finally, the Gemara says that the bringing of aromatic oils to cleanse one's hands marks the end of the meal, after which you can't eat anything without making a new bracha. The perek ends with the following statement. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Merav, Tana v'hiskadishtim elu mayim rishonim. Cleaning one's hands is akin to holiness. V'yisim kadoshim elu mayim achrayim. Washing after eating is another act of holiness. Ki kadosh zeh shemen, another level of cleanliness and holiness, anishim lekechem zu bracha, refers to the bracha of benching.